Hello everybody, this is the translation of Lucy's message for Sunday the 18th of February. The title of this message is Burnout. Good morning. While reading an article, I found myself faced with an English translation of a verse in the Bible that caught my attention. This verse says in English, Romans chapter 12 verse 11, be zealous and not slothful. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Don't be lazy. Be zealous. In the English version, I read, don't burn out. Or in French, avoid burnout, exhaustion. And if you follow the news a little, for several years now, we have often heard about burnout. The right term in French is professional exhaustion, or also simply personal exhaustion, not only physical, but primarily psychological. Finding this buzzword in a translation of the Bible caught my attention. So let's take a closer look at this phenomenon of burnout in order to understand what it can do in the Bible. When we first talked about burnout, it only concerned certain categories of professions: health, social work, education, personal care. Psychologists first wanted to explain the phenomenon. When at work, we are at the service of human beings, of others. We are more emotionally involved than when we work behind a machine, in green spaces, or entering text or aligning numbers. When we work with human beings, we are confronted with their expressions of emotion. And these expressions evoke in the worker himself, just as human, an equally emotional reaction. We teach these health, social, and educational professionals how to take the right distance and manage their emotions. There are techniques, working methods for this. But the fact remains that in the long run, it can become tiring having to manage the emotions that others evoke in us at work. Then little by little, we started talking about burnout for other sectors. When I was doing my research for my doctorate in theology, I realised that in the United States, since the 1990s, this term was also used for pastors who, being discouraged, felt the need and began to have the right to sabbatical leave. But for some time now, also in France, we have been talking about professional burnout in all sectors, even administration, etc. Then sociologists in turn look for explanations. Work has less meaning than before. Men went hunting and fishing to survive. Many more people work manually with material and visible concrete results. The mason sees his wall. The baker smells his bread. The farmer lives with the seasons and acts at the right time to sow and harvest. The work and its result were in direct relationship. With the development of machines, especially computers, we have gradually lost contact with the terrain, the earth, the matter. You can be behind your desk without seeing anyone except during the coffee break, with your only companion being a pile of files that need to be processed as quickly as possible. We no longer necessarily see the link between the work we do and its results. When we see less of the result, we lose satisfaction. Hence, emotional wear and tear. The result of our work no longer recharges our batteries. Burnout literally means no longer having fuel to keep a fire alive. Well, 95% of us no longer have an open fire, do not need to watch over this fire, add pieces of wood to it from time to time. Otherwise, the fire goes out. It is burned out. So nowadays, work, the profession, can be such that it no longer provides satisfaction because it is never finished. Without this satisfaction of a job well done, of seeing the result, or of having reached the end of the pile of files, we no longer receive at work the fuel to continue to be zealous, active, enthusiastic, etc. Our flame is extinguished, if I may say so. Burnout. What was my astonishment to find this word in a recent translation of the Bible in English? Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, in the Message Bible version, "Don't burn out, keep yourselves fueled and aflame." In French, according to Google Translate, it reads, "Don't exhaust yourself, keep yourself fueled and fired up." Avoid burnout, exhaustion. Always have fuel to keep your flame burning. Our French translations say instead, "Don't be lazy, be zealous." But when we find ourselves in a burnout situation, we no longer have this zeal. We drag our feet. We can't take it anymore. In short, I understand that a modern translation could speak here of burnout. Do not be burned out. Avoid that. It is a translation made by a pastor, a theologian, writer, Eugene Peterson. He intended this version of the Bible for those who have never read the Bible, therefore using only words from everyday language. On the other hand, it is also for those who have read the Bible so much that the text no longer speaks to them. Personally, I like to change the translation from time to time. It makes the text fresh and inspiring again. Comparing different translations allows another look at the text that is too often heard, too often known. I have found another French version called the Parole de Vie. Here is a similar wording found in the New Century version, Romans chapter 12, verse 11, which said, "Do not be lazy, but work hard, serving the Lord with all your heart." The word laziness still appears there, but the word zeal has disappeared, zeal having become an ancient word, replaced here by actively. To be zealous, not lazy, in other words, to have our flame lit, we need fuel. So how can you avoid burnout? Several academic studies have been conducted to understand burnout among pastors. What are the factors that promote it or, on the contrary, help to avoid it? Among these factors, one caught my attention. Some pastors define themselves more as serving others, whilst others say they primarily serve the Lord. The former will seek to respond to the requests of parishioners and will be more sensitive to their criticism. Those in the other category are less vulnerable to the criticism they receive. They say, "I work for my God." I invite you to think about it in your work context, at your job, at home, in the family. Who do you work for? For your boss? For your spouse? For your customers? For your children? The boss, the spouse, the children and the customers. They have this in common. They are never completely satisfied. In the sense of, you can work as best you can, but there's always a new task, a new request, a tomorrow, a new need. You know these complaints. Metro, work, sleep, which means it never stops. And the wife, the mother of excellence, who sighs, "But we are never finished." Physical exhaustion is one thing. Burnout is something else. And then I would dare to speak of exhaustion in the service of God. If Paul thinks it is useful to write to the Romans that we must be zealous, not lazy, it is because he recognises that the risk is real of losing our zeal, of becoming lazy. So how to avoid burnout, this exhaustion? Listen to what Paul writes to in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, in the New International Version. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." Change of optics, of perspective. No, I do not work for the boss, for the clients, for the colleague, for my children, for my parishioners. No, I work for the Lord. It is because I serve the Lord that I work for them. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. The master is Christ. It is he whom you serve. What does that change? There are two things I would like to highlight. Firstly, the tendency to moan. You know these expressions. "The boss thinks I'm not doing enough. My husband sees what I haven't done, but not what I've done. It's unfair.
They're wrong. I am entitled to more recognition, gratitude. I feel my rights have been violated. But if I consider that I am working for the Lord, I can have a clear conscience if I have done the best I can. He is my reward. I become less sensitive to lack of recognition, to the lack of satisfaction from a job well done, when it is never finished. I did it for the Lord. If he smiles on me, the criticisms of men no longer affect me as much. I don't have to complain anymore. Secondly, what this also changes is my ability to bounce back, to continue despite discouragement. It is the Lord who rekindles my flame, who gives me fuel. In my relationship with him, I am nourished. I receive everything I need, really need. He is my inheritance. My cup overflows. Isaiah expresses it this way in the New International Version. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. The Lord said, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged. He establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. He does not extinguish the flame which becomes weak, the reed which is bent, the image, among others, of someone who is burned out. He, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, understands burnout. He can save us from exhaustion, and we can get out of it healed." Paul writes to the Romans, and I translate into French the verse that I found in English with the word burnout. "Don't exhaust yourself. Stay fueled and fired up. Be watchful servants of the Master in joyful expectation. Don't give up in difficult times. Pray all the harder." Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, New International Version. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Stay fired up. Be servants. Of whom? Of the Master. Do not abandon. But how? For this we must hear these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Verses so well known that when we read them, we no longer dwell on them. We move straight on to the following verses. We know this. Really? First, there is an imperative, come to me. It's not if you think about it, if you find a moment, come to me. No, it's come to me, you who carry heavy loads and who are tired. Nuance. You say that you are tired and that your workload is too much. The boss, the parishioners, the family members do not necessarily agree when you say, "I am tired, it's too much." But Jesus' invitation is for you who say, "This is too much," whether you're right or not. He says, "Come." He doesn't say, "You are wrong" or "You are right." No, simply this imperative, "Come to me." Come to me, you who are on the verge of exhaustion, burnout. What is the result? I will give you rest. Who has not noticed that in his exhaustion, by going to the Lord, even for only 2 minutes, we find strength? He renews my strength. Yes, but we tend to hit the ground running straight away. It's like charging your phone or your electric car for a few moments without ever waiting for it to fully charge. You will quickly fall back into a state of exhaustion. No, come to me and you will find rest. You still need to take the time to benefit from this rest. Don't rush back. I still have a lot to do. Which is certainly true, but you won't make much progress with a battery that's only half charged. Come, take some rest. And the Greek word used here in the text also means to tranquillize. Not only physical rest, but also what calms your mind, which allows you to no longer move forward with your head down, but to rethink your way of doing things. And then it comes with this invitation. Take the charge that I offer you. Not the burden that others impose on you, or the burden that you impose on yourself. Take the charge that the Lord offers us. Often we come to the Lord, he renews our strength, but we take back the same bundle, the same backpack, the same load with which we came to him. Stop, it's not possible. You cannot accept the load that the Lord offers you when you continue to carry the same load as before. You are already exhausted. Take on the Lord's charge as well. Impossible. Stop and think. You only have two shoulders. You can only carry one load. Which is better, the one you choose, the one others impose on you, or the one the Lord offers you? In the French Word of Life version, we find this part of verse 29. I do not seek to dominate you. In other words, you have a choice, the choice of load. On the one hand, what you know, on the other hand, what the Lord offers you, and which he says is light and easy to carry. There is no photo. If I want to avoid burnout, I have to choose who I want to serve. I serve the Lord. He is the master. He is the one who defines my responsibility. I lay down my burdens and choose to carry what he offers me. All mental gymnastics, quite the opposite, ultimately, of being zealous and not lazy. Who says, go ahead, keep going, while Jesus says, stop. Stop, take some time with me, lay down your burden. I have better things for you. And here I like to return to the version of the Bible that we know best, the French version, the good old Louis Seconde, where it is a question of yoke. I know well that we don't like to be compared to a cow or an ox, but here is the image of two animals carrying the same yoke. This distributed the weight of the load to be pulled between the two of them is easier than doing it alone. Carry your load with the Lord, not only for him, but with him. This is what the Lord offers us. Here is my load. I suggest that you carry it with me. It will be lighter than the one you are trying at all costs to carry alone. After all, I am the Lord. Why do you want to continue to carry alone that what weighs you down? Which leads you to exhaustion, to burnout. So I hear little inaudible voices, people who think, but I'm retired, I'm no longer active, or I'm only a housewife, or I'm still only a student, or I am unemployed, or on disability, etc. So all this doesn't concern me. I can't be burned out. But yes, you are concerned. Paul says to the Colossians, everything you do, whether it's homework for teachers, making your bed and cleaning, looking for work, going from one medical visit to another, everything you do. You are concerned by what Luther wrote about vocation. Ah, that big word, vocation, which we associate with the vocation of being a pastor or becoming a missionary or at least a doctor or another so-called noble profession in the service of others. Luther was the first to associate the terms profession and vocation. This is what the German sociologist Max Weber wrote. A little bit of German for a change, not just Hebrew and Greek. There is the word Ruf, R-U-F, in German, which is translated as call. And we think of the ministry, but there is also the word Berufung, B-E-R-U-F-U-N-G. In Berufung, there is Ruf, call. But the French translation of Berufung is simply profession. For Luther, there is no distinction between secular professions and ministry, in the sense that they are both activities which consist of fulfilling in the world the duties corresponding to the place that existence assigns to the individual. duties which thus become his vocation. Whatever your place in society, your profession, your occupation, for Luther each profession is a vocation. And I go further in my understanding of profession by saying that being a stay-at-home mother, retired, student, etc., this can absolutely be the profession that God assigns to you in this phase of your existence on earth. So, enough of I'm not concerned about burnout. You are, even without a ministry or profession in the usual sense of the word. Everyone risks burnout. So try this perspective. Everything I do it for the Lord. And understand the logic. If I do it for him, I take the charge that he offers me, not the one that others impose on me or the one that I impose on myself. You may need help to make the distinction. Avoid burnout. Do everything as for the Lord. Come to him and take the rest he offers. Take his yoke, gentle and light. Finally, avoid burnout. Don't exhaust yourself. Is that so different from being diligent? Don't be lazy. Yes, if we take avoiding burnout as an excuse to do as little as possible. No, if we take avoiding burnout as the way to stay diligent and not be lazy. It's up to you. Don't exhaust yourself. Stay fueled and fired up. Be watchful servants of the Master in joyful expectation. Don't give up in difficult times. Pray all the harder, or even ask others to pray with you, for you. Amen.